And as I said during the Torah portion, it gives us instruction on the Yom Kippur service, what the priests are to do. And it's very interesting because it has a couple of components in it that are different than most other services. So let's start out by reading Leviticus 16, 7 through 10 together. All right? Leviticus 16, 7. Then he being the priest, then he is to take the two goats and present them before Adonai at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Aaron will then cast lots for the goats, one lot for Adonai and the other lot for the scapegoat. Aaron is to present the goat on which the lot for Adonai fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat upon which the lot for the scapegoat fell is to be presented alive before Adonai and to make atonement upon it by sending it away as a scapegoat into the wilderness. So right away, it sounds a little different, because what happens in almost all the sacrifices that are made, you come, you bring the animal, and it's sacrificed. It's slaughtered. And then it's burnt before the Lord, or it's taken out. The blood is used, and it's taken out and burnt outside the camp. But here, one of the goats survives. They're identical. They always tried to pick two goats that were as close in appearance as possible, size-wise, color-wise. They were identical. There was no reason that one would be killed and not the other, as far as appearance goes. It was left up to the Lord on which one was going to be dedicated to the Lord and which one was going to be driven out. A lot was cast, and the one that the lot fell on was dedicated to the Lord, which is kind of strange. The one that the Lord picks is the one that gets slaughtered, and the other one gets the sin laid upon it and driven out. So which one really wins? It's not normally the one who's slaughtered. You know, if you were standing there and you had your choice, and they threw a lot to see if you were going to be killed, and it came upon you, you probably would say, "Oi!" But here in this case, the winner was the one who was in the service of the Lord and sacrificed. It was the perfect sacrifice. It had no sin on it. It was perfect. The second goat, as we'll see, had sin transferred onto it and then sent out, led out into the wilderness to wander around in its sin for all eternity. Well, maybe not for all eternity. I'm sure those goats died eventually. But not right away. So that second goat has a name. Excuse my little sniffling. I'm going to try to keep that down to a minimum. The second goat is called Aziel. Aziel. And there are a couple, you know, this just shows how things change over the years. Because there are a couple of thoughts that rabbis have on how this goat, why this goat is named the Aziel goat. Now, the first says that the Aziel was actually the name of the place the goat was taken. And Aziel was a place where there was a high cliff and the goat would have been pushed off to its death. Not only pushed off, there are some rabbis who say it was tied to a large stone and then pushed off, as if falling wasn't enough, the rock was going to make it fall even more. I don't understand it, but that's what they say. But we don't see that in Scripture anywhere. It says the goat is let out and let go. It doesn't say that it's killed. But the rabbis at the time, I think they couldn't quite wrap their head around why you would, you know, like I said, every other sacrifice, the animal was killed. They couldn't wrap their head around why this one wasn't killed. So they did something on their own, I think. The second thought they had was Aziel was the name of a goat god. Name of a goat god, and they would send it off into the wilderness as a sacrifice to the goat god. Makes no sense in Judaism, does it? One God only, so why are we sending a goat god a sacrifice? Makes no sense. The third, which I say for last because it's the most probable, in my mind, the only one that makes sense, Aziel is a combination of two words, Ez, meaning goat, and Azel, meaning to be sent away. Aziel, a goat to be sent away. Now, in 1530, William Tyndale, while he was doing his translation of scripture, he translated Aziel into escape goat, which shortened over time to scapegoat. From scapegoat to scapegoat, doesn't seem that much shortened to me, but that's what happened. Over time, it changed from scapegoat to scapegoat. So that's how we get Aziel. That's what the interpretations of Aziel are. But these two, so let's take another look at these two goats. Because the first goat was killed, slaughtered as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. It had no sin on it. Leviticus 16:15 tells us a little bit more about this goat. So let's go there. Let's read it together. Leviticus 16:15. Then he is to slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood behind the curtain, and do with it as he did with the blood of the bull. Sprinkle it upon the atonement cover and before the atonement cover. So, this was a perfect sacrificed animal. It had no sin on it. Priest didn't lay any sins on it. It was a perfect animal whose blood was spilled for the atonement of Israel. Does it sound familiar to us? A perfect sacrifice with no sin whose blood was spilled. Yeshua. He fits this description. He is the blood. He is the first goat, the sacrifice of Yom Kippur. 1 Corinthians 5:3 tells us how Yeshua fits this bill. So let's go there. For I also passed on to you, first of all, what I also received, that Messiah died for our sins according to the Scripture. That would be Messiah Yeshua. Let's go on to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Learn a little bit more about him. 1 Peter says, you know that you were redeemed from the futile way of life handed down from your ancestors, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with precious blood, like the lamb without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. That was the first goat, the precious blood without spot or defect. He is that goat. And I have one more before I start talking about this. I'll go back into this. Ephesians 1:7 tells us this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the removal of trespasses, in keeping with the riches and grace that he lavished upon us. He is the one who redeemed us by his blood. He was and is the perfect sacrifice. Now, in Greek, that word for redemption in Ephesians 1:7 has the same base word, root word, as the word redeemed in 1 Peter. And in Ephesians, it's apolutrosis. I tried to say this a couple of times at home, and I listened to it, because my Greek is not there. I think my Hebrew is a little weak. My Greek is, wow. Apolutrosis. I have to say it with a little accent. Apolutrosis. And that means, it translates to, a releasing effect of payment by ransom. Redemption, deliverance, liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. That was the purpose of the first blood. The payment by blood. Someone had to pay a price. He paid the price. He was, that first ram bled for us, died for us, paid the price for Israel at the time, just as Messiah paid the price for us. We can see easily the Messiah in the first ram, in that first goat, But what about the second goat? Is that Messiah also? Well, it actually is. Messiah fits this one as well. So let's go and see what happens to this goat in Leviticus 16:20. We go down a little bit, 20 to 22, and Leviticus 16 says, when he was finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he is to present the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of Bnei Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. He should place them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of the man who is in readiness. The goat will carry all the iniquities by itself into a solitary land, and he is to leave the goat in the wilderness. Our Jewish brethren do not want to believe in the transference of sin. It's one of their big problems with why Messiah is not Messiah. But I tell you, here, in the Old Covenant, in Torah, it's talking about transference of sin. The high priest, Aaron himself, would place both hands on that goat, and sins were placed upon the goat. And then it would be taken out into the wilderness. This goat was not the goat that paid the price by blood. This goat took away our sin. The first goat paid the price. The second goat took away our sins. Does this sound familiar? Messiah took our sins so that we didn't carry them any longer. Let's take a couple of scripture verses for this. John 1:29 says, the next day, John sees Yeshua coming to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Takes away the sins of the world. He didn't say he was the one who was going to die for the sins of the world. He took away the sins of the world. There seems to be a separation of two things there going on. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. The priest took his hands and laid it on the goat. It's almost like the Lord took his hands, laid them on Yeshua, and placed all our sins and all our iniquities upon him. and then let him out. Because Messiah didn't die in the city. He was taken outside the city to die on the stake, on the executioner's stake. He took our sins and was led. He didn't go on his own, right? He was led, just like the goat was led, outside, taking our sins outside of us. Hebrews 9:28. So also Messiah was offered up once to bear the sins of many. He will appear a second time apart from sin to those eagerly awaiting him for salvation. He bears the sin again. Just reinforcing, Messiah took on the sins, bared them. And one last one in regards to bearing. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we, removed from sins, might live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Amen? Amen. Two amens. Bore our sins, and by his wounds we are healed. Not talking about our wounds today, but I'll praise that every time. But bore our sins. Our sins were placed upon him. He bore them. Two things. First goat died for them. The second goat bore them. Two things. Our Messiah died for our sin, bore our sins and took them away, and he was that perfect sacrifice. He was not considered sinful when he died. Now, if all the sins were placed upon him, doesn't that mean that when he was on the stake, he would still have had our sins upon him? But he atoned for those sins. He died perfectly. He was still the perfect sacrifice. And how far did he take our sins? You know, it's not just a little bit. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. From the east to the west. You know, if you haven't thought about that, how far is the east from the west? Well, you go this way east. Okay, when do I stop going this way to the east? And when do I stop going that way to the west? Well, you can just go infinitely in both directions. That's how far he's removed our sins infinitely from us. How amazing is that? I'm playing a game. These poles in the middle here. I hate to block people's. I like to see a face. But it's amazing that nothing is between us and Messiah. Because he's removed them so far away as the east is from the west. That's how far our sins are from us. Think about how far we have to go to reclaim them. He doesn't want you to. He's moved them that far away. Now, some say we don't need to do the sacrifices anymore because we don't have a temple. But God doesn't change, does he? His requirements don't change. That means the Yom Kippur sacrifices must be done the same way, meaning the same elements must be present, but in a different way. Now, Rabbinic Judaism says we do them in a different way, but in a different way. They don't believe what we believe, obviously. They couldn't figure out how to do it the same way, but a little bit differently. Right? We do it the same way. We still have the blood sacrificed, Messiah Yeshua. We still have the second goat, who carries our sin away. Again, Messiah Yeshua. They couldn't wrap their heads around Scripture, so they changed Scripture. And they said, well, the way to holiness would be repentance, prayer, and charity. The way to atonement was there. That's their way. I'm going to challenge you and tell you, say to you, if there's Scripture that you in the Old Covenant that you can't apply to the New Covenant, it's not because it doesn't apply. It's because you haven't figured out how it applies yet. Because there's not a single word in the Old Covenant that does not apply today. You just need to figure out how it applies. Our brethren haven't figured out how to apply it yet. It's there. It's before them. They just need to figure out how to do it. Let's go to Luke 24. Luke 24, 26 is speaking about just that. It's speaking about Old Covenant Scripture and why. It says, was it not necessary for Messiah to suffer these things to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them things written about himself in all Scripture. This was Yeshua speaking, telling the after he was executed on the stake, and they didn't recognize him yet, but he started to speak about all the things that were written about himself in all Scripture, it says. Now, all Scripture at that time was what? Torah, the prophets, and the writings. Didn't have Luke yet. Didn't have Matthew even yet. So he was telling him about himself in all of Torah, because he's throughout all of Torah. So when we read here about the sacrifices of Yom Kippur, who are we reading about? We are reading about our Messiah, Yeshua. He is the one who died for us, perfectly without sin. He is the one who carried our sin away from us, out into a wilderness, never to be seen again, unless you want to go run after it. And here's the problem that many people have. They want to keep their Aziel goat as a pet. They want to keep their sins as a pet, and they just want to pet it. And they just want to feed it a little bit. You know, it's not me, it's my pet. It's well trained, don't worry, it's housebroken. Don't worry, it's trained, it won't bite you. But here's the problem. It's a goat, it's wild, it's going to bite you eventually. It may snuggle up with you, but eventually it's going to bite you. Your sins might snuggle up with you for a while. They may make nice with you for a while, but your sins are going to bite you eventually. You can't live in peace with your sins. You have to force it out into the wild. You have to let it go. All those things of the past. That's what we need to do with our sins. That's why we remember the Yom Kippur services. During our Yom Kippur services, that's what we remember. I know I wrote this. I got to read what I wrote now. Hey, good point. Let me tell you this one. Sacrifices are a reminder of sin and the impossibility of us removing the sin issue ourselves. It requires blood, and the blood of Messiah Yeshua, the perfect sacrifice, is now the blood that is required to last for all time. There just is no other way of cleansing ourselves from our sin. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse 10. But in these sacrifices is a reminder of sins year after year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. By his will we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Messiah Yeshua once for all. The body of Messiah Yeshua once for all. Each year we go through our cycle of holidays. And for Israel, every day they went through their cycles of sacrifices. And the true purpose of it all is a reminder of what sin is, what we need to do with sin, and who we need to lay our sin upon and trust that he's taking care of it. We need to trust that Messiah Yeshua has taken care of our sins. Because he's the one strong enough to. He's the one, even more importantly, perfect enough to do it. It took a perfect sacrifice to cleanse us from our sin. It took a perfect Messiah to remove the sins from us so that we didn't have to live with those sins. Micah 7:18, my last verse for today. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and you will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. He will subdue, Messiah will subdue our iniquities by his blood, and will cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea. He will remove them as far as the east is to the west. That is the love of our Messiah. That is the love of our God. We must turn to Yeshua and accept him as our sacrificed goats. Both of them. The one whose blood was spilled and the one who takes away our sin. He is that, all rolled up into one perfect Messiah sacrifice. And we need to turn to him every day. And if you haven't turned to him yet, now's a great time. Now's a fantastic time. And it only takes a simple prayer. So I'm gonna say a prayer. And if you haven't accepted Messiah Yeshua as the one who's died for you, has taken your sins away, then I invite you to say this with me. Father, I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I cannot cleanse myself of the things I have done. I turn to you to cleanse me and take my sins from me. Thank you for taking the punishment that I deserve and for loving me even when I don't deserve to be loved. I accept you into my heart today as my Savior and will walk in your path. And no longer on my own path. Ruach HaKodesh, Teach me to do your will, so that I may be closer to Father God. So if this was your first time, whether you're here in the sanctuary or if you're watching on the live stream, if this was your first time, go to someone and let them know the good news. Because you just did something great. You just did something that'll change your life. And it may not even feel like your life has been changed. But I'll guarantee you, over time, you will know the difference. You will know the difference. If you have no one to tell, email me. Go to the website, find my email, and email me. And let me know the good news. Hallelujah. For those who are